For various reasons, I get asked to judge things from time to time. I've judged chili cook-offs, comedy competitions, script writing contests, advertising awards, you name it. A while back, I was asked to judge a costume contest being held in our local movie theater here on the island. The theme was a celebration of the movies, and mostly kids took part. The boys came as their favorite movie stars, while the girls opted for the glamour look. The first categories were easy. Just a few contestants, and the winners were obvious. We went for the cutest kid and the hippest-looking teenage boy, and the audience concurred. Then came the best-dressed teen girl competition. Someone whispered in my ear, "This is always the most competitive category." Something about her words sent a shiver down my spine, and as the stage filled with at least 36 beautiful, dressed to the nines, teenage girls wearing a jaw-dropping assortment of beautiful gowns, I was having myself one big-time flashback. I was remembering the last time I was asked to choose the most beautiful girl. It didn't go all that well. Could have been a lot worse, too, if only the locals had just thought to put a bucket of hot tar and a pile of feathers in the back of one of their pickup trucks that day. I'm Jeff Hoyt. Welcome to Hoytus Interruptus.
When you were little, you dreamed you were big. You must have been something, a real tiny kid. You wish you were me. I wish I was you.
Dream operator. I didn't want to be in charge of anyone's dreams. But one day, 27 years ago, the role was foisted upon me. Back in another lifetime, before CDs and MP3s, there was vinyl. My job was to spin said vinyl on a thing called a turntable. I was a rock and roll DJ for a top 40 radio station. And I don't mind saying, the job came with a certain level of celebrity. I was expected to be available to MC the occasional concert, do live remote appearances at car lots and stereo stores, or just be the DJ du jour at whatever community event was on the calendar. It was all part of the whole commercial radio gig. One such obligation took me to a small town where I would serve as a judge in a traditional beauty pageant for teenage girls. It would be my first and last such experience. Before the big show, they lined up the judges, all three of us, American Idol style, at a long table in a tent, so we could meet the girls. I was about to find out that this was much more serious business than I could possibly have imagined. Almost every girl walked in with a patently false, plastered-on smile that had been clearly painted onto her face by either a parent or a professional coach. They all seemed stressed out and nervous when they came in to answer the predictable, pre-written questions we were told to ask them. Questions like, who's the most influential person in your life? If you could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be? And, of course, that tedious pageant standard, if Observer O is located in an infinite space and is bombarded by isotropic particles coming from infinity and moving along straight lines in random directions, can the observer detect the presence of the region in space by simply observing the distribution of particles arriving from different directions? Oh, and show your work. Okay, that last question was mine. I figured it couldn't hurt to lighten things up a little. Turns out, the reason the girls seemed so nervous was because the stakes were a hell of a lot higher than I realized. I was judging a contest that was part of the whole pageant circuit, a traveling road show that puts increasing pressure on the girls as they advance through various levels toward the coveted Miss Teen American Beauty Princess Girl title or something. Hell, I didn't know anything about the path these girls were on. I was just showing up where the radio station sent me. Two girls did stand out during the interview round, though. One was a perfectly coiffed, perfectly poised, perfectly perfect girl I'll call Ginger. She was 13, going on 23. The other girl was a classic small-town American kid. Very pretty, a natural smile, and the only girl who actually laughed at my physics question and tried to answer it with humor. Let's call her Marianne. Oh, and she was also the only contestant who answered our other questions with refreshingly honest answers and not the stilted swill the coaches were foisting on their clients. Finally, it was showtime. Now, I expected that the event would happen in a, small school auditorium or maybe a converted cafeteria. We walked into an enormous school gymnasium that was absolutely packed to the rafters. First up, the evening gown competition. The girls were lovely, and of course they each walked the pageant walk. Smile, wave, stop, pose, walk, repeat. The audience was supportive toward all of them. Marianne once again bucked convention by just being very much herself as she walked out. She just seemed comfortable, the only girl who was having any fun. Then, though, out came Ginger. Whoa. With her, shall we say, advanced development, she did things for an evening gown that no 13-year-old girl should be allowed to do. And Ginger was a rock star with this crowd, the clear, hands-down favorite daughter. As the talent competition got underway, it was clearly a two-girl race. Marianne came out first and pretty much dazzled my fellow judges and me with a combination of singing and modern dance that was just not at all common for the late 70s. It was Fosse meets Flashdance, full of life and athleticism. Her voice, even when she was winded from spinning and leaping around the stage, stayed strong throughout. If I hadn't been a judge, I would have leapt to my feet for a standing O. When her routine finished, though, the audience reaction was, polite. It seems they were saving themselves for you-know-who. Ginger walked out into a single spotlight as a solo piano began to play. And from the first note, I knew exactly what she was about to sing. It was a song that had been forcing an instant gag reflex out of every top 40 DJ in America for months, simply because it was such a monster hit that none of us could go more than 20 minutes deep into our radio shows without being required to play it again. Just as I was thinking that the only way Ginger could best Marianne was by taking a bit of a risk on stage, none would be forthcoming. Not when you've chosen to cover Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life.
So many nights.
Oh, this still sucks.
I'd sit by my window.
And why?
Waiting for someone.
Oh, of course.
To sing me his song.
Or you can sing it yourself.
So many dreams.
How many dreams?
Kept deep inside me.
10, 20.
Alone.
Here we go.
But now you've come along.
Now here's where Ginger really carried the mail.
You light up my life.
Every note perfect.
You give me hope.
Excellent fake emotion.
To carry on.
Now she balls up her fists.
Light up my day.
Reaches for the sky. And opens her hands and lets them fall to her side.
With song.
Now don't get me wrong, Ginger absolutely nailed it. The crowd screamed its approval. Her performance was flawless, but predictable. Very pageanty, I thought. For us judges, we had a slam dunk on our hands. Marianne, clear winner. Ginger, a rather distant second. When Marianne's triumph was announced, things got ugly. There were clearly audible boos. They actually booed a 13-year-old. It took Marianne by surprise, and I'm sure it hurt, but she held it together remarkably well, took it all in stride, and was awarded her well-deserved crown. Then, funny thing, I discovered that I had completely misread the audience reaction. Turns out they weren't booing Marianne at all. They were booing us, the judges. Seems we had not chosen their chosen one. Out in the parking lot after the pageant, I got to meet a few of the parents. wasn't my idea. One of them called me, what was it? Oh, yeah, a blind bastard. Another said that we had cruelly given that, quote, poor Marianne false hope when she was clearly not pageant material. Oh, and guess what? Ginger's mom even walked me to my car. That was nice. And boy, could she dish out that colorful homespun redneck vitriol. Very creative. Maybe she should have entered. And in a way, I guess she did. She was very clear that I had ruined both her life and the life of her daughter. And in pretty much that order, I think. I just wanted out of there. I could have tried to engage her honestly on why I hadn't voted for her daughter. I thought Ginger was beautiful and talented, but all package and no personality. I wanted to ask her mom why this was so important, and why put so much pressure on kids so young. None of that was going to get anywhere, though. So finally, I settled for smartass. Hey, I'm really sorry for your loss, but if you want your daughter to get anywhere in this world, here's my advice. Don't make her cover Debbie Boone. So this would explain why the best-dressed teen girl contestants looked a little puzzled as they stepped up on stage at the Vashon Theater a few months back. That would be because one of the judges was balled up in the fetal position. In the end, though, we made our pick, the crowd cheered, the girls were cool, and nobody tried to kill me in the parking lot. When it comes down to it, though, who am I to judge? Literally. Who am I to say that these competitions aren't good for the girls? Who am I to say that they don't build character and self-confidence? I wouldn't know. We never went down the pageant path with our own daughter. All I do know is that there's something that really bothers me about seeing a parent literally living through their children's success or failure in competition. And it's not just limited to the girls. Let's not even get started on Little League. I just know that our culture asks a lot of our daughters. It asks that they be thin and beautiful. The ones who get there have to figure out how to stay there. And good luck with that. Time and gravity seem to have other plans for all of us. Well, I can't keep on looping Eliza Carthy's intro music forever here, so that's it for this edition of Hoytus Interruptus. Thanks for taking the time. I'm Jeff Hoyt.